Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we'll be unpacking the longer-term investment themes that the UBS CIO expects to perform best in 2017, from automation and robotics to security and safety. We'll review the global trends behind them and discuss how current political dynamics and no little turbulence play into these areas. We start with Christopher Swan, cross-asset strategist at UBS, who kicks things off by talking about the big picture for longer-term investments. He runs us by the trends and tells us for whom this makes the most sense in investment terms.
It's very tempting as an investor to get completely obsessed in the latest development, the latest bit of economic data, the market gyrations. There's a lot of noise in the market. You're constantly trying to predict what's going to happen with GDP growth next year, which politician is going to be elected in this place or that place. And the idea of the long-term investment themes is that it's something of an antidote to that kind of approach, in that you're looking at very almost inexorable secular trends that we think are going to drive investment returns over many years and even decades. And we're talking about themes like population growth, an aging population, technological change, automation. So the kind of trends that will continue whoever's elected and however the economic cycle turns out, or at what point the economic cycle pivots from growth to recession.
For more background and to explain about the importance of tracking these irrefutable trends, let's hear from Carl Beresford next, analyst in the UBS CIO.
This is based on three really undeniable or irrefutable long-term trends that can actually be tracked with a certain amount of visibility. One is world population growth. So we're looking for a jump from 7.4 to 10 billion within the next 30 years. That's almost a jump of 30%. Secondly, we're looking at the demographic shift. And this is also something that we have a certain degree of visibility on. So we're looking at a big increase in the 60-plus demographic. This, we expect, will exceed that of the under-25 demographic by 2030. So that's within a shorter two-decade time frame. And then the third trend that we've seen, it's very evident in emerging markets, and particularly here in Asia, is this trend towards urbanization. And it's not just from the countryside to the cities, but from smaller cities to what we call mega cities, which are cities of over 10 million. And what we're seeing here is trend towards the mega cities. So we think that almost a tenth of the world's population will be in around 40 mega cities by 2030. So the mega cities are actually getting bigger. And I think that these are three very important trends that drive us for a number of what we call structural themes.
We asked Alexander Steeler, analyst at UBS CIO, to run us by the big picture trends too and tell us in his view for whom this makes the most sense in investment terms.
We have an investment series called Longer Term Investment Themes, which contains thematic investment ideas based on long-term structural developments such as population growth, aging, and also increased urbanization, which all together create a variety of long-term investment opportunities. And we think it's perfect for investors that want to invest over multiple business cycles to benefit from a potential mispricing created by typically shorter-term focused stock market, and also by the secular trends which are underlying these trends I've mentioned before.
On that Venn diagram, if you like, of population growth, aging and urbanization is this longer-term investment opportunity space. We asked Carl Beresford, for whom is this best suited if we're talking about investors?
Well, you know, it would be too easy to say, you know, investors with a 10 to 15 or 20-year time horizon, and how many of those really are there? You know, typically, those type of investors, maybe they put money into private equity. But the reality is that we're seeing business disruption that's causing shifts, you know, cataclysmic shifts in industries that in the past may have taken place over a few decades. And we're seeing that this disruption is happening in periods of a decade or under. So while we talk about long-term themes, I think it's the fact that the visibility on these themes is clear and that a lot of the disruption that we see across industries is happening in actually quite a short time frame. So while we talk about this longer-term 15, 20-year time horizon, we may be seeing markets discount these events in much shorter time periods. So I wouldn't say this is just the sort of territory of the PE-type investors, the long-term investors. You might well find that the investment time horizons are actually shorter and the markets are discounting some of these events quite aggressively. Obviously, you know, because of the business disruption cycle has shortened, companies need to act faster and in some cases more ahead than they would have done in other times.
Next up on the programme, let's zero in on some more specific areas of the report in particular. First up, let's take a look at safety and security. Why this space in particular? Alexander Stieler, again.
We think that cybersecurity is a hot topic currently. I mean, cyber attacks have always been a serious online threat to individuals, corporations, and also governments. But we think the industry is at an inflection point. The shift to clouds of smartphones and tablet PCs has increased the complexity of the IT infrastructure, which exposes us to even more security risks. This can be clearly seen by an acceleration in growth in global security incidents. And I would say that there's a good likelihood that there is a malware on your software or program intended to damage your or disable your computer or mobile phone operation.
And what about another key investment opportunity highlighted in the report, energy efficiency? We asked Christopher Swan, why is the time now here?
Well, you might say it's a bit of an odd time to be thinking about energy efficiency when the United States has just elected a president that's notoriously skeptical of the idea of energy efficiency. And one of the main drivers of increasing demand for energy efficiency products has been government regulation. But I think there are here two main very long-term drivers. The first is that by 2040, fuel consumption globally is likely to increase by about 50%. That's an estimate from the International Energy Agency. And at the same time, some of the adverse side effects from rising energy consumption are becoming more apparent. At the moment, around 3 million people die prematurely due to air pollution. And the OECD estimates that this could rise to 9 million by 2060. So governments all over the world, not just the American government, have been trying extremely hard to impose regulations that improve energy efficiency. But we've also seen the development of more technologies that can help companies and individuals to become more energy efficient and in doing so save considerable amounts of money. And that's the second driver.
What are the most exciting opportunities that spring from the bigger picture trends we've already been hearing about? And again, if we look at energy efficiency, Tanvir Sandhu from Bloomberg shared these insights.
I would say energy efficiency is a very interesting area with traditional global oil exploration is essentially in decline. Reserves are likely to diminish in the decades ahead. So while US shale has reduced import dependency, other economies will require alternative energy sources. And we've seen energy efficiency standards basically rising, and we expect wind and solar to continue to gain traction. Longer term out, it may mean, you know, the EU importing energy from the US and potentially Germany restarting their nuclear supply and Eastern European countries developing their own shale gas.
Carl Beresford adds another interesting insight on energy efficiency, especially focusing on the deregulating of the carbon industry in the United States.
Energy efficiency maybe gets questioned, but I think it's important to remember that as oil prices come up, energy efficiency becomes more important. So, you know, maybe a good example of that is actually Airbus. So Airbus, its core sales are actually fuel-efficient engines, and the sales of these engines tend to be greater when jet fuel prices are higher. So if you think of energy efficiency in terms of it acquires a greater importance as oil and gas prices rise.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider the extent to which the longer-term investment themes we've been hearing about are immune or not to shorter-term geopolitical volatility. So, let's turn next to that question of immunity for these themes to political variables. How ring-fenced are they? Does it depend on how closely they're pegged to the bigger picture themes? Christopher Swan takes up the story.
Many of them will be relatively ring-fenced, especially if they're based on technological trends or long-term demographic trends such as population growth, which are very hard to turn around, and whoever's president of the United States, nothing's going to happen to that. In the case of energy efficiency and, say, safety and security, cyber security, these are long-term trends that might be impacted more by short-term political events. But they're also very highly diversified. So rather than being based on one country, they'll be based on investments in many countries. In the case of energy efficiency, for example, Europe is certainly not backing away from drives towards energy efficiency, and they've set the goal of becoming 20%, or the European Union has set the goal of becoming 20% more energy efficient by 2020. And that's equivalent to turning off 400 power stations. And we've also seen in Brazil and China considerable political effort being put into cutting pollution and encouraging companies and consumers to become more efficient in the way they use energy. So energy standards now cover around about 30% of the world's fuel consumption, and that's up from around about 11% in 2000 at the turn of the millennium.
Now, one, Donald Trump's been dominating the news cycle. When you have the kind of short-term political volatility that both his campaign and now presidency has prompted, does it jeopardise even the long-term themes? Or rather, does it serve merely to remind of the very importance of taking that long-term view? Carl Beresford, again.
Good question. I mean, it's a very mixed bag. On the negative side, it increases volatility of equities. So that's going to be a blanket effect, regardless of theme. But then there are negatives and positives, obviously, and probably the disrecognition of climate change could affect some of these themes. But then on the other hand, we've had this whole issue of the Russian cyber attacks, and now greater concern, not just in the US, but in other Western countries. I think the UK defense minister just came out to say that we got to do more to protect ourselves from cyber attacks from Russia. So this obviously is a tremendous driver for this theme, and you will see a lot of, just on the public side, a lot of investment in cybersecurity on the back of this. And then, of course, if you believe in the, you know, artificial intelligence, enormous amount of investment in that sector last year, and it comes to fruition this year, big data acquires an enormous amount of importance within the IA industry. And I think that as it gains more importance, as you see more internet companies monetizing off big data, again, you have to invest more in cybersecurity to protect your data.
Regarding political turbulence, how sensitive are these areas of opportunity to the upheaval? Are they subject to the prevailing winds of politics? Well, look to regulation as one instructive example in this space, advises Tanvir Sandhu.
In terms of political turbulence, the areas such as regulation, which is something that Trump has repeatedly said he'll reduce, you know, is a big deal. And, you know, that in turn will help growth, and we'll see banks, large cap equities perform from reduction in regulations. And we've seen this build, a huge, huge buildup of regulations in the US over the last couple of decades, and you know, the recent World Bank survey is putting the US as 51st on the list on how easy it is to start a business. So it seems Trump is essentially answering the question of how to deal with the growth in income inequality by reducing regulations and distributing wealth. That is the perception for the electoral.
Is there an immunity for these themes to political variables? Not completely, agrees Alexander Stieler.
There are also risks to all of the investment themes. For example, I'm also the author of our energy efficiency investment theme. And our immediate reaction after Trump was, oh, could this be a problem for our investment team? Because, I mean, he mentioned before that he might change some of the EPA regulations, so the Environmental Protection Agency regulation, which could be bad, for example, for renewable energies, of course, but also for energy efficiency. But then we concluded at the end energy efficiency is less impacted because at the end it's also driven by global competition, as nobody has an incentive to produce less energy efficient products, because otherwise he would lose against global competitors that have still an incentive to produce them. So there are certain risks, and unfortunately I have to admit, no, it's not unrelated to what governments decide.
Finally on the programme, a thought on performance assessment between sectors, for instance, contrasting, say, energy efficiency with security, with robotics and AI. Do the report's authors expect them to shuffle around in terms of how they're rated as investment opportunities, or could something quite or entirely new come into the frame? You need to remember that there's plenty of both qualitative and quantitative analysis to help keep the likes of Alexander Steeler and his colleagues on top of exactly that.
That's important to mention that we have some qualitative assessment. So, for example, the theme should more or less also fit in our oral frameworks and our house view, how we see the world. But an important point is also quantitative. So valuation is very important. And therefore, we see some movements. And, for example, if one investment team had a very strong run, there's a good chance that it will drop out of the top five over the next few months purely because of unattractive valuation, and that another one ranks higher.
Alexander Steeler. Now, we began essentially by asking, why would people be interested in this? And as we've heard, amidst what is often the short-term noise of investment advice, this is certainly something of an antidote. That's true, but there's another rather more esoteric appeal, explains Christopher Swan.
It's also, to some degree, I always think, an opportunity to play amateur sociologist and futurologist. So you can look at a variety of really ultra-long-term trends in the way society is developing, and base investment approaches around that. Investors are often looking for sources of diversification and investment opportunities that are not necessarily precisely tracking the FTSE 100 or the S&P 500 or moving alongside treasury yields. And so these kind of longer term themes can offer another source of diversification in a portfolio.
And that is Christopher Swan bringing us to the end of this 122nd edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more, as always, at monocle.com, or catch up there or via your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.